Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter, and we are broadcasting live from the Menards in Lawrence, Kansas today. Charlie Carlin is out here. We're in the back, kind of over by the pet food, pet toys section. If you're coming by and like to make a donation to the Lawrence Humane Society, you can pick up some food, some treats, some shampoo, some cleaning supplies to help out the pets. So please do that. Also, Menards is your one-stop shop for Mother's Day. Patio furniture, flowers, got a little bit of everything here. Also, if you're going to the races at Heartland Park Topeka next weekend, they have general admission tickets at a discount plus pit passes, easy for me to say. So come on by the Menards in Lawrence, Kansas. We'd love to see you out here and stop by and say hello. Back at the Rally House Studios, Rudy Salazar and Jed Marshall are running the things behind the scenes. And joining us now here on Sports Saturday from FanSided is Matt Verderam to talk some Chiefs football. Matt, how are you on this Mother's Day weekend?
I am great. How are you, Brett?
I am doing fantastic. All right, the Chiefs wrap up their rookie camp from last weekend. Had a good 3-4 days of work there, a couple of days of work. There's not a lot to judge because they're not in pads and they're barely getting into their playbooks and things. But what are the most important takeaways from last weekend's rookie camp for the Chiefs?
That nobody got hurt. That's the main thing.
Okay.
Beyond that, none of it really matters. Look, you know, they signed their sixth-round pick, Tremont Smith. They got that done quickly. That's a good thing. You know, just get that out of the way. And from all accounts, he sounded like he played really well. Now, of course, you know, there's no pads. There's no contact. It's very much, you know, a 7-on-7 type of thing. And really even pretty relaxed from that. But, you know, he sounded like he looked good. You heard Breland Speaks was doing well in terms of getting the edge and getting low and turning around. You know, and look, those are all nice things to hear. But truthfully, to say that any of this makes a big difference, it doesn't really. You just don't want to hear, like, Malik Collins of the Cowboys broke his foot or Fozzie Whitaker tore his ACL. I mean, as long as that kind of stuff doesn't happen, it's a win in terms of OTAs and minicamp.
And Malik Collins is one of those Kansas City kids from Center High School who I followed in high school, talked to him a few times, great kid. Yeah, you don't want to hear things like that.
No, I mean, that's the only thing you want to avoid. If you don't get hurt, it's a success.
Well, the early returns from the folks from the Arrowhead practice facility who cover the team is the top guys for the Chiefs look good. Derek Nnadi and Dorian O'Daniel, and I know we're going to mess up his name a couple of times this season. It's not that easy. Breland Smith was good. Tremont Smith, I was really interested to see or hear reports about Tremont Smith because I kept waiting for the Chiefs to draft a corner, and they did not take Josh Jackson from Iowa, which I was begging for weeks. But Tremont Smith's a guy, even though, you know, smaller school, Central Arkansas, is a guy who can make good use of minicamp and rookie camp and get used to the speed of the receivers that he's now going to have to cover in the National Football League.
Yeah, and you know what? For a kid like that, like you mentioned, comes out of that small school, Central Arkansas, that kind of stuff, I do think it helps to get used to that speed. No, like, he's not going against Tyreek Hill in his practice. He's going against Marcus Kemp and Gary Dieter and all that stuff. But that's okay. Those are still some of the better receivers he's probably ever played against. So it gives him a little taste before he sees the Samuel Watkins and Chris Connolly and Tyreek Hills of the world. And so look, they signed him right away. And, again, you know, that's always a good sign. They didn't waste any time. You heard that he looked impressive. He's got good speed. You know he's got ball skills. You see that. That's evident on any tape you watch of him. And that apparently translated well during the rookie minicamp. So, for him, look, the Chiefs are hoping that they strike gold again in the sixth round. Probably a decade ago, they drafted Brandon Carr in the sixth round out of Grand Valley State. And he turns out to be a really nice player for them. So if they get that kind of situation again, I'm sure they'd be thrilled.
We're talking with Matt Vertoram from Fansided, talking Chiefs football. Of course, we got the news this week that former Chief Derek Johnson is now an Oakland Raider. And look, there's nobody in Kansas City who wishes Derek Johnson any ill will because he signed with the Raiders, at least nobody that I could find, because he's a good dude. He was great in the community the whole time he was here, and if he had to get a job somewhere and the Raiders offered it to him, you take it. But it's good for the Chiefs in that the Raiders keep signing players that are well into their 30s and towards the end of their careers. Does John Gruden have carte blanche on who the Raiders are signing? What is going on? And good for the Chiefs, because the Raiders keep getting older, but what is going on with the Oakland Raiders?
Well, we could do a whole segment just on that based off the season. First of all, Derek Johnson, I'm shocked that the Raiders signed him simply because I thought he was too young for the Raiders. I thought they would have been looking at somebody maybe like Donnie Edwards or, you know, but what, I digress. Look, the Chiefs had to cut Derek Johnson this offseason, whether it be because of the money or simply because, like, he's just lost a couple of steps at this point. He's not the player he once was. And Therese Taylor, who now works for Yahoo, even reported that the Raiders are the only team that was giving Derek Johnson any kind of a path to playing time. So that tells you what the rest of the league saw on tape as well. So the Chiefs are not alone here. And as far as the Raiders go, this whole offseason has been about getting older and slower, which is very strange because the league as a whole is about getting younger and faster and more athletic, especially now where teams don't just pound the ball between the tackles like they did 20 years ago. It's very much a young man's game. We saw the Chiefs go out and they added speed with Hitchens and Watkins. And the Raiders have done the complete opposite of that. So I think, you know, there's no question Gruden has autonomy here. He's getting paid $100 million. Reggie McKenzie is not. So they are going to do what Gruden wants. In fact, there was even a report that in the draft, the Raiders had two separate draft boards. They had McKenzie's draft board, and they had Gruden's draft board, and they were trying to just find a compromise in the middle during each of these picks, which, if that report's true, that is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. But their whole offseason has been extremely shaky, to be kind.
Yeah, and for John Gruden, look, I know they have their scouts, and they have to watch their tape and thing, but I don't think he knows that much about college football other than a handful of quarterbacks that he used to like to get on his TV show. I mean, it's not easy to scout hundreds and hundreds of players, and you have to have somebody who's dedicated to that 365 to make that call, not a guy who throws in a tape, well, look at this guy here, you know, the John Grudenisms and all that. That's not a way to build a winning organization, and good luck to the Raiders with that, but it's not a good look for them.
If you're a Chiefs fan, you ought to be doing a dance in the street that they signed him for 10 years and $100 million, because if this thing goes south, what are they going to do? If after 3 years this is a train wreck, what are they going to do, buy him out at $70 million? I mean, he's there. He's staying. So, like, if you're a Raiders fan, my biggest concern would be, like you just mentioned, you have a scouting department. You've got guys who have been scouting for years, whether it be upcoming free agents or an upcoming draft class, and he comes in out of the ESPN booth and decides, well, I'm going to run the show. I mean, that is worrisome enough. And then this whole offseason they signed everybody who's over 35 years old. Look, maybe he knows something we all don't. But I think pretty universally the idea is that the Raiders are going down a path that their fans are not going to enjoy come September.
Well, like, I don't know what John Gruden does day-to-day in the office in terms of getting ready for the draft, but I'll put it this way. Kirk Herbstreit was an immense upgrade on the draft coverage for ESPN.
Yes, he was. Again, like, this is a situation where Gruden – he was up in the Monday Night Football booth all year long. Like, that's, you know, I don't know if, like, that people realize that's a full-time job. I mean, that is – that whole week leading up to those games, you are watching tape of those two teams that you're about to cover. You're getting into the city a few days early and doing interviews and getting notes and talking to these teams. He didn't have time, believe me, to sit there and watch Vanderbilt tape on a Thursday. Like, that wasn't happening. So the idea that he came in with his pre-ready, you know, draft board is crazy. I think when you look at the West this year – and you never know, team surprise. We saw Jacksonville go to the AFC title game last year. But it appears, for everything we know, that the Chiefs and the Chargers are going to have a brawl for that division, and then maybe Denver and Oakland fighting for third place.
And the Chiefs and Chargers have that matchup right at the end of the year that could decide the division championship. We're talking with Matt Verderan from Fanside and talking Chiefs football and the AFC West. I know a lot of Chiefs fans are probably looking forward to the Raiders moving to Las Vegas. Yes, they will lose the nostalgia of the Oakland Raiders, but not that dump of a stadium. It's a bad road trip, but Chiefs fans are looking forward to making the trip to Vegas for Chiefs games. But if they continue to get older and slower, Las Vegas is going to have, they'll have a great first year regardless because of the hype, but you have to win ball games to sustain that. And people in Las Vegas, especially since it's what I call a transient community, nobody who lives in Vegas is actually from Vegas. They're all from somewhere else. Fans aren't going to fork over for tickets to watch a middle-aged football team lose week in and week out.
No, and it's interesting, too, because the hockey team now, the Golden Knights, they got there first, and everybody saw it's an expansion team. They'll think for a few years. They're in the conference finals right now. So
right.
Vegas is very used to seeing a professional team come in and play very well right away. And the Raiders are not going to be the first pro team that they have. And if the Raiders come in there and go 5-11, people are going to say, well, who cares? You know, we got the Golden Knights. We might be a Stanley Cup champion here in a month. So, it's not to say that hockey's going to supersede the NFL, because it certainly won't. But the Raiders are not the first foot through the door. They're not the novelty. The Golden Knights are the novelty. And if the Raiders go in there and they play like crap, people are going to see, like, there's enough to do in Vegas that people are just going to find something else to do. This isn't Oakland where it's either the Raiders, the A's, or nothing. It's Las Vegas. So, you know, nobody's going to want to go see them play if their best player is, you know, Khalil Mack, as great as he is. He's not selling a ton of tickets.
It's very much like Los Angeles. If you're the Dodgers or the Lakers or the Clippers or the Kings and you're not playing well, there's a lot of other things you can do. All right, we're talking with Matt Verderam from Fansided, talking Chiefs football in the National Football League. As you look at, we're going to be comparing, I think, three different teams this year quite closely for Chiefs fans. Obviously the Chiefs, the Andy Reid and Brett Veach. We're going to take notice of what the Colts are doing. We're going to take notice of what the Bears are doing, and we're going to take notice of what the Browns are doing, since they're now all run by former Chiefs personnel. Where do those teams stand? Obviously, the Cleveland Browns are, you know, after doing the offer, which is very hard to do, where do those three teams stand right now, and do either of the three have a chance to make the Chiefs look bad?
I don't think any of them are going to make the Chiefs look bad, because those teams have a long road to hoe. With the
right.
Colts, it really just comes down to Andrew Luck. Is he healthy? If he's healthy, they're at least a competitive team because he'll make them competitive. But if he's not healthy, they're winning four games. They just don't have anybody. They are not a good team. Their roster is bare bones. Now, I like their draft. I thought they drafted well. I thought Quentin Nelson wasn't the sexy pick, but he was the right pick. But the Colts, it's simply, if Luck isn't there, they're winning three games. If he is there, maybe they can hover around 500. With the Browns, look, they're not going to go on 16, but they're not going 9-7 either. I think the Browns have done a nice job to restock the cupboard a little bit to get Tyrod Taylor. Of course, they draft Mayfield, number one overall. But it's going to take a little time now. I mean, you don't go from 0-16 to 10-6. And then in Chicago is the one team that interests me, because I could see them having very much a year like the Rams had last year, where nobody expects anything. You had an old head coach who ran a prehistoric offense, and now you're bringing in a guy in Matt Nagy who is a very smart offensive coach. He knows what he's doing. I think he's going to be a terrific hire for them. And they went out and they finally got some weapons for Trubisky. I could see Trubisky having a year, much like Goff had, where if you look at the tape, Goff wasn't great last year despite his statistics. He was okay. He was pretty good. But that was a big jump from where he was as a rookie. And I think you could say the same thing with Trubisky. The problem for the Bears is they're in a brutal division. But I could see the Bears being really competitive this year, maybe even winning eight games or so, and that would be a real nice jump for a team that hasn't made the playoffs in almost a decade.
All right, Matt, as we go through the offseason here, what are you looking forward to most in terms of getting ready for the regular? Do you just wait for training camp to start, or are the OTAs a big deal for you? What holds your interest the most as we get through the next few weeks where we're kind of devoid of action, so to speak?
I guess I could lie because it'd be good for business and say I'm really excited about the OTAs. But I wait for camp. To me, OTAs and minicamp, I think it's important for the rookies. I mean, it's even important for the second-year guys, obviously including Mahomes, which is the biggest thing going in Kansas City right now. But to me, I wait for camp. I think as long as you get out of the OTAs and minicamp without any injuries, no freaky thing happening, I think you're fine, especially the Chiefs. They've got so many guys in that team who have been under Andy Reid now for years. They know what they're doing. I don't think they have to have too much of a learning curve here. They should be all right. I am most curious with the Chiefs. This offense, if things go right, if Watkins doesn't get hurt, if Mahomes is what everybody thinks he's going to be, this offense could be incredibly entertaining. My curiosity is, defensively, can they just be even competent? I think they're going to be very good against the run. I don't know what they are against the pass. I'm very curious how that shakes out, because I think if the defense is even just average, the Chiefs are a very intriguing team. But I don't know that they're going to be average. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking to hear all those reports out of camp, a couple of preseason games. How do they look? Because that, to me, is the burning question with the Chiefs.
And I saw a great number on somebody posted on Twitter this week. If you took the quarterback, the running back, I think number one wide receiver, and your number one tight end, and put their average ages together, the Chiefs are by far the youngest in that group in the AFC West, which if it's running solid this year, could be great things not only for this season but for seasons to come. Final question for you, Matt. I know you are a big hockey fan. You tweet a lot about the New Jersey Devils. Who do you have? Give me your two teams that are going to win the conference finals and meet up for the Stanley Cup. And obviously Washington got out to that blowout start last night. But who makes the finals? Who wins the cup?
I would have said Tampa before the series started, so I'll stick with them. And I'll take Winnipeg. I think Vegas has an incredible team, a great run. But Winnipeg is so big, so physical. They really do play a game that is tough to deal with. So I'll take Winnipeg to win it all. I think the first Canadian team since 1993 to win. I think the Jets get it done. And by the way, that tweet you referenced, Gary McKenzie, who was a great read on Arrowhead Pride. It was very well
done. There you go, Gary
McKenzie.
I need to do the snap photo whenever I see a great tweet with a great number, so I make sure I give the credit where credit's due. So thank you for picking me up on that one, Matt. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Hey, Matt, we thank you for joining us and talking Chiefs football here. Matt Verderam, fan-sided. Give him a follow on Twitter. Good, good stuff. Hope you and everybody have a great Mother's Day weekend, all right?
Thanks, Brad. You too. Take care.
All right, that is Matt Verderam joining us here on Sports Saturday as we broadcast live from Menards in Lawrence, your one-stop shop for Mother's Day. I got the flowers, got the patio furniture, got if you name it, if you threw out a random item you might look for in your house, whether it's for a beautification product or a home improvement product or anything, it's at Menards. I don't think that you can walk around the store and not find exactly what you are looking for. So do that. Also, here at the location in Lawrence, the Menards, they're helping get donations for the Lawrence Humane Society. They're looking for food, treats, shampoo, cleaning supplies, and they have those available here, so you can buy those things and then donate them to the Lawrence Humane Society. And if you're heading to Heartland Topeka next weekend for the races, for the Menards NHRA races, they have discounted tickets for general admission. They also have pit passes. So all of that at Menards here in Lawrence. All right, we will take a quick timeout. Still to come on the show, David Leske is going to join us later, talking Royals baseball. Big come-from-behind win last night. Salvador Perez, a two-run home run, which was fantastic after the Royals were down 9-4. And then coming up next, Eric Horn from the Daily Oklahoman will join us. We'll talk about Nick Collison retiring. We'll talk about some NBA playoff action as well. So plenty of stuff to come. Please come out to Menards in Lawrence. Charlie Carlin is here. I am here. We've got 810 Miller Lite koozies. We've got the coasters, and we would love to have you stop by and say hello. Jed Marshall and Rudy Salazar are back at the Rally House Studios. We'll take a quick timeout. Back with more right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Coming out of my cage and I've been doing just fine. Gotta be down because I want it all. It started out with a kiss, having it in a pipe.
back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Rain is clearing out, I think, for most folks. We had a good rainstorm this morning. Get the flowers nice and watered. We're broadcasting live from Menards in Lawrence, Kansas this morning. Please stop by and see us. We got Miller Lite 810 koozies. We've got 810 coasters. Perfect if you're out on going to be out on your deck this weekend celebrating Mother's Day to have one of those coasters and koozies out there to keep your drinks nice and cool. And out here at Menards, it's one-stop shopping for Mother's Day, if you haven't heard. And I was just walking down the main aisle. I was refilling my water here, and I was walking down the main aisle. And if you're taking your mom or your family's out on boats this weekend, they have stuff for your boat at Menards, which I did not see before. They've got life jackets, and they've got they've got pools you can put in your backyard. I mean, name it. Whatever it is for your yard, your house, inside, outside. And if you want to get mom something nice, come to Menards for the one-stop shopping. Got stuff going on all day here. Right now, we want to welcome in Eric Horn from the Daily Oklahoman. Eric, thank you for joining us here on Sports Saturday on Mother's Day weekend.
Oh, thanks for having me. Anytime.
Eric, I know you follow the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I don't think it was a surprise to anybody that Nick Collison decided to call it a career after 15 years. And I know Russell Westbrook did a lot of things at the end of the regular season and during the playoffs to have the crowd acknowledge Nick, and he called him, you know, Russell Westbrook couldn't say enough nice things about Nick Collison. But what's been kind of the reaction? How do people relate to Nick Collison being a lifelong Thunder player?
Well, you know, I think that people around here really appreciate what Nick Collison brought every night. You know, my colleague Barry Trammell wrote a piece about Collison this week, and he made a good point that, you know, people really got familiar with Nick Collison even before he became a Thunder player. This is a guy who played 4 years at the University of Kansas. And, you know, being in Big 12 country, playing against, you know, Oklahoma State, all up and down Texas Tech, this is an area that got to know Nick Collison well before he became a Thunder player. So it's really like people around here have been following this guy for 20 years. So
have we. Yeah.
It's been quite the journey for Nick Collison, and I think that familiarity combined with the way that he just went about his game and his professionalism, I think that really endeared him to people in Oklahoma because, you know, this is kind of a hardworking community, people who value work, who value, you know, grindstone and not a lot of flash. So Nick Collison embodied that. And I think that resonated with Russell Westbrook, that resonated with the Thunder, and it resonated with the entire Oklahoma community.
And I like you said, you know, he's not the flashiest guy in the world, but he plays with one of the flashiest guys in the world in Russell Westbrook. So what's the bond between Russell Westbrook and Nick Collison, other than just Nick being the older the statesman on the team? What led to their bond being so strong over the years?
Well, first of all, just general longevity. I mean, these two guys are the last remnants of that first year in Oklahoma City. You know, we're the 10 years that the team has been here, those guys have been the constant. Besides Sam Presti and some people in the front office, they've been the two players that have been here the entire time. So, you know, Nick Collison being here with the franchise when they drafted Russell Westbrook, he was a mentor to those guys like Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, Jeff Green, James Harden. Those guys have spoken volumes about him this year. I mean, this past week. So Russell Westbrook, I mean, he's a guy who has a lot of respect around the league. And Russell Westbrook has that – he reserves that the respect for a few guys around the league as well. And Nick Collison is one of them because he's been here for so long.
Has the Hall of Fame jersey already been printed, and has the ceremony already been announced for when Nick Collison goes into the Thunder Hall of Fame?
This is going to be interesting when it comes to honoring Nick Collison, because as we've seen – this week, I was actually surprised at them making a video for him and him being a part of that. This guy, he's pretty under the radar when it comes to the platitudes and making a big deal about stuff like this. I mean, he played down this entire season in terms of it being his last. He never gave an indication that it would actually be his last until this week. I mean, you kind of picked up the signs and read the tea leaves that this would be his final season, but he didn't make a big deal out of it. So I think when it comes to like a jersey in the Raptors situation, I don't know what his involvement is going to be. I'd imagine he'd be there. I don't know if it's going to be much publicized. I know the Thunder would probably love to publicize it, but look, Nick Collison, instead of holding a press conference this week, he took off to Nashville to be at his girlfriend's law school graduation. He didn't even do a press conference or anything, and he would have had every right to do so, and we'd have been there front and center. So it's going to be interesting to see how he handles that and all the fanfare that comes with it. But whenever it happens, I'd imagine it'll happen sooner rather than later. I know the fans are going to be excited for it.
Well, keeping quiet and under the radar is Nick Collison's style, 100%. They covered him when he was with the Kansas Jayhawks. And I'll relay a funny story. Well, it was funny to me. It was not funny to Nick Collison. But with the team at the Final Four, and I believe it was after the Syracuse loss, and that was the game when Kansas missed a ton of free throws that could have swung the balance of the game. And we all went into the locker room after the game, and Nick Collison is there, and I got as close as I could, and nobody knew what to say. So I asked him a couple of general questions. You know, this is heartbreaking, this is crushing. And then one of the other reporters who had read off the free throw stats, like, you know, missing 11 of 22, kind of kicking the pants, huh? And Nick Collison looked right at him and glared at him and said, yeah. Kicking the pants, that would be the choice of words I would use. And then it was off and gone, but that was his understated style. He could have taken the kid's head off, but he didn't.
Yeah, he's a class guy, man. It was interesting, one of the last games of the year, I think he got in the actually it was the last game of the year. It was the Memphis game, and Dave Collison, Nick's dad, was at the game. And the Thunder had to shoot a technical free throw, and Memphis could choose anybody on the team to shoot the free throw. And Bickerstaff, the Memphis coach, he actually picked Collison off the bench to shoot the free throw. And everybody goes crazy when Nick Collison gets in the game. I mean, people are losing it because Russell Westbrook had done the kind of tribute before the game, and Collison hadn't played yet, I don't think, in the game. Or maybe he played a little, but he hadn't played a ton. So people were just going crazy. And then Collison gets in there and misses the free throw.
Of course.
It was so perfect, but it was just like it was so fitting because everybody loves this guy regardless of what he does now. He's endeared himself to the community so much that it's like he can even get in there and just miss a free throw or do whatever. It's not really going to matter because they know how much he's meant to them. Regardless of the statistics, it was really like a perfect encapsulation of how much Nick Collison meant to this franchise.
All right, we're talking with Eric Horn from the Daily Oklahoman on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter as we broadcast live from Menards in Lawrence. Eric, I don't know if you've been to a Menards, but it's maybe the biggest store I've ever seen in my entire life.
I have not been to a Menards. I've heard of it. I see it on the NASCAR circuit. So that's kind of my familiarity with Menards. I'm from Louisiana, so I don't think they have those down there. But maybe I'll just make a special trip to Kansas one day just so I can go to a Menards and get in there and live it up because you build it to be one of the greatest things that has ever been built by civilization.
Well, you could probably play two professional football games in here. Maybe more. I'm not sure. Obviously, in Oklahoma City, the bigger story after losing and getting bounced out of the playoffs is what will Paul George do next? And now he had to have a knee surgery as well. He can stay with Oklahoma City. He can sign the max contract. He can be set for life if he's not already. Or do you go back to the rumors from last year where he said he wanted out and he was going to eventually end up with the L.A. Lakers?
Yeah, it's early. It's too early to tell. People don't want to make the comparison. There's a little bit of Kevin Durant situation. You know, Paul said the right things all season, just like Kevin Durant did. But, you know, Paul's a guy who talked about this being year one, implying that there could be a second year of this, that, you know, he enjoyed his time here. He said that outright, that he did enjoy his time in Oklahoma City. He enjoyed you know, the camaraderie he shared with Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony and the team. And, you know, as disappointing as the season was to the end, Paul George knows the potential that this team can have. When he, Carmelo Anthony, Russell Westbrook, and Steven Adams and Andre Robertson were on the floor together, they're one of the best units in the league. I was just looking it up. I think they outscored opponents by like 14.2 points per 100 possessions. That's one of the best marks in the league among lineups that played as much as they did. So they were really clicking when Andre Robertson got hurt. Paul George was just shooting the three magnificently. They were playing lockdown defense. So he knows what's at stake. This is a guy who's smart. He's thoughtful. He still has those L.A. connections. So I think that that's really strong. And he's never shied away from his desire and his acknowledgement that L.A. is enticing and that it would be anywhere that you know, any guy would want to play for his home team or where he's from. But I think we still have some time. And, frankly, he probably hasn't made a decision on where he wants to be in his future. So I suppose we'll see closer to June 1st, or not June 1st, July 1st, or on July 1st, what his situation is going to be.
Well, considering the Lakers, they may not have enough playing time for everybody because Lonzo Ball is already playing, and then if LiAngelo comes too, I mean, he's going to be in the starting lineup.
Oh, man. I feel like they'll make room for Paul George. That's just a hunch.
I don't.
You know, I think they might carve out some room for that LeBron James guy, too, if he wants to come down.
Yes. There's some room and some money. I'm just kidding about LiAngelo. I don't think he's going to play a minute in the NBA, but that's all right. We're talking with Eric Horn. we're talking with Eric Horn from the Daily Oklahoman. Advancing to the conference finals now. We pretty much got the four we thought we were going to get. For you, after covering the Oklahoma City Thunder, what's the most compelling story going into the conference finals, outside of the fact that, you know, it's the same teams again?
Well, I think we finally got what we wanted to see in the conference finals. I think we had been anticipating this for about a year now, or at least a year plus. This Warriors-Rockets matchup, since, you know, James Harden really, you know, reignited that offense last year under D'Antoni in their first season together. That's a matchup we've been dying to see all season, particularly with Chris Paul just playing the way that he is. I think that's number one. And then, you know, 1A or 1B would be, you know, can LeBron do this again? I mean, this guy is playing at 33 years old. He's probably playing at the highest level, if not, you know, or close to it, that we've ever seen him play. You know, he's not getting a ton of help. Kevin Love was better in the previous series against the Raptors, but, you know, LeBron kind of single-handedly just took the Raptors out by himself, and it's going to be impressive to see how he can do that again against Boston. You know, and we think of Boston as like a collective of spare parts. These guys can play, man. I mean, you got Jason Tatum, who you're probably familiar with, being from Missouri.
Oh, yeah.
That kid is just so poised for his age.
Jaylen
Brown and Al Horford and Rozier stepped his game up, and Brad Stevens is coaching his tail off. It's not going to be a cakewalk for LeBron. This isn't going to be some kind of sweep like he did against the Raptors. I think that's another compelling series, too. And frankly, the two conference finals might be more compelling than the actual final, because if Boston or Cleveland, whoever advances from there, I wouldn't pick them to be the favorite against whoever advances against the Warriors or the Rockets.
Now, when I watched the Celtics, you mentioned Tatum, the kid from Missouri. I still am dumbfounded by the fact he's only 20 years old, and he's playing this well at such an elite level.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I think I recall watching one of his high school games on TV, and it immediately popped out that he was very smooth and poised, but I didn't envision that he would be this good this quickly. He has a chance probably in the next, you know, 2 to 3 years to be maybe their number one guy. And that's crazy saying that, considering that you're on a team with Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, but he just has that kind of game to him. Like, he's got the size, the length. He doesn't shy away from taking big shots. He seems to have an array of offensive moves. I think that the sky's the limit for him. He's just such a phenomenal player. I wonder if Philly has any reservations about, you know, just not just taking him at the number one spot. But then again, they probably wouldn't have been able to get up to the number one spot to take Fultz if Boston had known that they were going to take Tatum to begin with, because Boston seemed like they got the guy they wanted.
We're talking with Eric Horn from the Daily Go Oklahoma, and covers Oklahoma City Thunder and NBA as we broadcast live from Menards in Lawrence, Kansas. You mentioned Chris Paul, and I'll just touch on him briefly. Another one of those things that jumps out that you don't think about is the fact that he's never played in a conference finals before, which is amazing. Because, you know, we know the all-star numbers, we know his personal numbers and all that, but to get there the first time, he's got to be, I would think, you know, normally you say teams that haven't been to a championship before have the toughest time doing it. You can say that about the Rockets, but Chris Paul doesn't, to me, is not the player that falls into that category of doesn't know what it takes. He's been around and done a lot of things in his NBA career.
Yeah, and this is the stage that he needs and deserves to be on. It's incredible that it's taken him this long to get here, but he's been playing in a loaded Western Conference for his entire career. You know, those Clippers teams underachieved. They went up against some tough teams as well, but it's good to see a guy of his caliber. He's a Hall of Fame point guard. He's going to be one of the top handful of point guards ever when he retires. It's so rewarding to see a guy like him be able to get to the conference finals finally and put that to the test. And just a testament to how tough the league has been throughout his career, you know, he's not favored to advance now. He's still got to go up against a juggernaut in Golden State. And he's going up against another Hall of Fame point guard in Steph Curry and you know, a gaggle of other Hall of Famers, Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, the guys are probably going to end up in the Hall too. So I'm excited to see him perform. He played so well leading up to this point. Most importantly, I'm glad he's healthy, because he's had some playoff runs derailed by his health and by the health of some of the guys around him on the Clippers and some of his last years there. So it's just great to see him be able to put together a healthy postseason and perform at his best.
All right, one off-the-court news item to run by it. Two things about this strike me as odd as we talk with Eric Horn from the Daily Oklahoman. Concerning the NBA Coach of the Year, and this is voted on by NBA head coaches, and they get one vote apiece. So Brad Stevens of the Celtics does not get one single vote, which is head-scratching for me. And the other is that the man who won it, Dwayne Casey, getting Coach of the Year, got a number one seed in the Toronto Raptors, but after getting swept by the Cavs for the second straight year, he's fired. So the guy who wins Coach of the Year gets fired, and Brad Stevens doesn't get one vote, and he's got a team in the conference finals.
It's head-scratchy. I didn't have a vote this year. My colleague Brett Dawson had a vote for the Oklahoman, but I don't know what he voted, but I'm not going to say in hindsight that I would have voted for Brad Stevens over Dwayne Casey. I probably would have wound up voting for Dwayne Casey too. But, you know, Brad Stevens went through a lot this year, man. I mean, first game,
right?
Just a few minutes in, you get Gordon Hayward breaks his leg. You know, Kyrie's out for a significant period of time. You got other guys who battle injuries all season, and he's able to put out a unit that's just one of the best defensive units in the league. It's baffling that he didn't get a single vote. That's really astonishing. You would have thought that even someone in a Boston market would have voted for him. But look, firing Dwayne Casey, part of me is just like, well, what more can a guy do? He won 59 games, first time they've ever been the number one seed in the East. And then another part of me is thinking to myself, like, well, they probably had grounds to fire him 2 years ago. That's when the rumblings were at their most. I think that it's going to be hard to see how they're going to get somebody who's going to improve upon what they did. But I also, you know, being in a market where a guy like Scott Brooks was highly successful and the Thunder fired him coming off of an injury-riddled season, there was justification that you could have fired a guy like Scott Brooks, you know, 2 years prior when the Thunder, you know, while they had an injured Serge Ibaka in the Western Conference Finals, who missed two games, they, you know, got closed out on their home floor against San Antonio while San Antonio had an injured Tony Parker. So it's a weird league. It's an unfair league. But the thing that I will say for Dwayne Casey is he'll get back on his feet. Somebody's going to pay him a lot of money to coach their team, and I think he's going to be successful again. Because you see a guy like Scott Brooks be able to land on his feet after taking a year off and going to Washington, and now Scott's making $7 million a year. So I cry for Dwayne Casey ever so briefly because I feel like he's going to be fine in the end, and he leaves with his respect and his and in the respect of his peers rather than going down in flames. Because, look, he lost to LeBron James, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't just sign LeBron James. And I would guess sitting DeRozan in a clinching game at the beginning did not go over well with the ownership and the general manager and those sorts of things. But, as you said, he'll land on his feet. They still owe him $6.5 million more bucks, so he's not going to be strapped for cash anytime soon.
Yeah.
Hey, Eric Horn, I appreciate you joining us. Hopefully you get out and enjoy this Mother's Day weekend. We appreciate your time and enjoy the conference finals and the march up to the championship.
Thanks for having me. Anytime. I appreciate it.
All right, that is Eric Horn from the Daily Oklahoman, talking NBA playoffs and talking retirement of Nick Collison. And it hasn't gotten a lot of run nationally because, as Eric said, and as we know from covering him during his time at Kansas, was not the most vocal guy off the court in the world. Not one of those light up the room kind of personalities, but that's the way he liked it. He took care of business, scored his points, got his rebounds, got dirty a lot, and as one of his former teammates said, he sweats more than anybody else on planet Earth when he's playing. But a great career for Nick Collison, and he will, despite the fact that he doesn't like the attention and probably doesn't want to be honored in any way, they will retire his jersey or have a jersey hanging ceremony for Nick Collison, and he'll be in the team's Hall of Fame, and he's going to have to come out and at least wave and acknowledge some people, even if he's not big on giving a speech or interacting all that much. So we appreciate Eric Horn joining us. We got a few minutes left in this segment, and then coming up next, David Leske from Baseball Prospectus will join us, talk a little Royals baseball, the big come-from-behind win yesterday. How many people turned it off at 9-4 after the Grand Slam? How many people did? A lot of people probably cashed out at that point, didn't stay around for Salvador Perez's big two-run home run, and Alcides driving in four runs, Brad Evans going four. Brad Keller, pardon me, Brad Evans plays soccer for Sporting KC. Brad Keller throwing three scoreless innings to get his first major league victory. So we have that still to come. We will take a quick timeout. We are broadcasting live from the Menards in Lawrence, Kansas. One-stop shopping for your Mother's Day. Walked around here a couple of times. And you name it, whatever your mom is into around the house or in the kitchen or outside in the yard, whatever she's into or whatever you'd like to do nice for her, they have it here. They have some great flowers. They have some patio furniture. Tons is what they have. Anything you can think of. If you're taking mom out for a boat ride, you're going to spend some time at the lake, they got stuff you can take to the lake for you as well. I saw life preservers. I didn't know if they had life preservers. They did. I walked around and saw them. So come out and do that. Also make a donation to the Lawrence Humane Society. We're kind of backed by the pet supplies, and the Lawrence Humane Society could use food, treats, shampoo, cleaning supplies. So if you want to come up and pick out something there and make a donation, they would very much appreciate it. Again, we're broadcasting live from Menards. My name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is out here with me. Jed Marshall and Rudy Salazar are back at the Rally House Studios. We'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810. WHB.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. Alongside Charlie Carlin, we're out live at Menards in Lawrence, Kansas. Stop by and see us. We got some 810 Miller Lite koozies. We have the 810 coasters. If you've got some outdoor activities this weekend, keep your drinks cold and have a nice place to put them down so you don't leave a mark if you have a wooden table some kind. We're out at Menards, one-stop shopping for Mother's Day. Lots of good things going on out here. Name it, whatever your mom or your wife or whoever the lady in your life is into, you can find it here, whether it's inside the house, whether it's outside the yard. You can do something nice for you. Surprise her on Mother's Day. Jed Marshall and Rudy Salazar are back at the Rally House Studios. Guys, I was just flipping through Twitter here. A minute ago, Tim Tebow news keeps coming up. He went 3-for-4 last night. He's hitting .264 with a .783 OPS for a team called the Binghamton Rumble Ponies.
Wow.
When will the day end when we don't have to get updated on Tim Tebow news?
Never. It's never going to end. Everybody loves Tim Tebow, except for me.
I don't love him, but I don't dislike him. I don't need to know what Tim Tebow did.
He's a phenomenon. It's never going away, yes. Brad. He's on ESPN for some reason.
Yes. Maybe we'll ask David Baseball Prospectus. He's going to join us and talk a little Royals baseball. You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB.